Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
All right, welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. And we have a special release here today where we are doing the first ever DC Cyber Update. On with me today, Chuck Brooks. And he has a long bio, but named as one of the top tech people to follow by LinkedIn. He is the VP of Sutherland Government Solutions, the chairman of CompTIA, their new and emerging technology committee, and on the board of directors of the Cyber Resilience Institute. Chuck, welcome, and thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I also forgot to mention, you're in the D.C. area, and that's what you do. You follow the cybersecurity politics, industry, as it applies to the federal government and how it works and what's coming down the road for our country and how we're handling cybersecurity.
That's a good thing. I'm sort of a hybrid between the private sector and the public sector. I came here and I worked 8 years for the late Senator Arlen Specter on technology and national security issues, and also was one of the first people to serve at the new Department of Homeland Security. And now I'm back in the private sector, but it's so I'm originally from Chicago, but now I've become a Washingtonian.
Okay, and we've had you on an earlier podcast, but we wanted to talk today about what's new in D.C., and I saw one of your articles come out last week, and we decided to do this, and hopefully we'll have a reoccurring thing where every once in a while we get together and talk about what's new in cybersecurity for our country. But the country has a new CISO, so talk to us about this one first, and then we'll open it up as to other things you have going on there.
Yeah, sure. The new CISO is actually General Greg Tuhill, and a great choice. He's a retired general from the Air Force, and he's been over at the Department of Homeland Security for, I think, 4 years as a Deputy Assistant Secretary, and he's in charge with protecting infrastructure. And this is a really significant position. First of all, it's the first of its kind. And second of all, it shows attention to the importance of cybersecurity as national policy. And I guess one thing you can say about General Tuhill, he's got a lot of respect. He's both technical. He's very accessible. He's well-liked on both sides of that. He's a great choice for a first person. And although he'll probably be only there a few months because it's a political appointment, he really sets the stage for the future for having cybersecurity as one of the pinnacle issues of any administration.
So do you think that with the election coming up and everything, you said he's only going to be there a couple of months. Do you think this changes or the importance changes when we get a new administration in?
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So do you think that with the election coming up and everything, you said he's only going to be there a couple of months, do you think this changes or the importance changes when we get a new administration in?
Well, I think it's interesting. If you've seen the last couple of debates, cybersecurity has come up as an issue, and it never has in election debates before.
Yeah.
And I think most politicians realize it's really not a partisan issue either, that cybersecurity is here to stay. It affects everything, and it affects our national security, whether it be, you know, hacking into elections or it be hacking into the OMB and stealing everyone's security clearances. So I think that this sort of is an initial start for the government, and I think they're going to build on it.
Yeah. So what do you think? What's the CISO do? What's his path? Do you know anything about an inside track on what's the first steps to be come from this position?
Yeah, I think the choice of Greg is significant because he's really known for promoting risk management and cybersecurity. And really, if you're going to have a starting point for the encompasses the broad area of cybersecurity, which is everything from detection to forensics, you couldn't have a better choice than that. And he's put those systems in at Department of Homeland Security and also in the Army when he's handling these issues. So I think what he's going to do is help start a framework, you know, how we best identify and mitigate key threats and risks in the cyber ecosphere and see what we can do. And a great you know, person to have it start off with.
Okay. So we have the new CISO. What else is going on in D.C.? Give me an update on any other things we're going to touch base on.
Sure, yeah. Well, something very significant, probably to mostly people that are government contractors, but the General Services Administration, GSA, actually for the first time ever came up with a special identification number for cybersecurity, which is called a SIN. This means that vendors will now be able to, I mean, it actually means that the government will now be procured directly from vendors, penetration testing, incident response testing, cyber hunt, and risk and vulnerability assessments directly off a schedule, GSA schedule. So that has a significant impact. It basically opens, it changes the game and how things and services and technologies can be procured in government. So it's something that not many people are talking about, but it's going to have a lot of impact.
So that is interesting because whenever I've done bids on government contracts, you go in to do the selection and there's nothing for cybersecurity. It's all either computers, IT, there's so many things for agriculture, but this opens up a whole new category that the government recognizes under cybersecurity. That's what we're saying?
That's what we're saying. And a lot of that coincides with sort of the directives that have come out, presidential directives and legislative directives over the last 4 or 5 years that sort of mandate more attention to cybersecurity in program management. And nothing better than be able to have, basically to directly contract for the government expertise and services in this area. So I think this is very significant.
Yeah. So a lot of government there. I know we've talked about this before, but we talked about the CISO, and now we're talking about specifically something to government contracting. The government's really, you know, interested in information security. What about critical infrastructure side? Anything, you know, Department of Energy, the protecting infrastructure, grid, what, anything like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other big news is it's just happened over the last couple months in legislation is there's legislation that was promoted to increase the duties of the Department of Homeland Security in terms of protecting the critical infrastructure. The National Protection of Programs Director at NPPD, which where General Tuhill came out of, mm-hmm. is now be given more powers. And part of those powers are basically working information sharing with the Department of Energy and critical infrastructure of the grid. It has been identified, there's legislation by Congressman Trent Franks, that we need to upgrade the resilience of the grid. There's been a lot of attention to it recently. There's a book that came out by Ted Koppel, a former Nightline person, that detailed the impact of a solar storm that would wipe out all our power and also talked about some of the cybersecurity elements. Now there's been several attacks on the grid too. So I think it's getting attention, but not yet funding. And I think that's the next step.
That was the next thing I was going to ask. Because there's been a lot of attention, and I've seen it off and on throughout my career, but the funding is always light, and who pays for it? So we don't have any big news on that area, do we?
Not yet. And it's because it's sort of a quasi-regulatory area. I mean, you have the utilities that basically run most of the grid, and they're not heavily funded. They basically pass the cost on to the consumer when they do. So there's a lot of policy to get through beforehand. But of interesting area, of course, you know, you're talking about protecting the grid in areas. The Department of Defense operates its own grids and has its own critical resources. And they've gone ahead and they've spent money. So at least they have a model to follow.
Yeah.
But we need to have the civilian critical infrastructure follow that role too. There's some great new technologies out there that could have an impact. And beyond cybersecurity, also in material science and in the energy area and batteries and things like that too.
Well, what are you running into in that area, in the new technologies and stuff like that, that you think is going to be a next gen or really changing the field that we're playing on?
Well, there's something that I've come across a couple of interesting technologies. They have them on building now to dissipate the electrical charges from lightning, and I've understand how they found a way to do it to a bigger capacity to a generator. And if they can implement some sort of procurement of some of these type technologies, we can protect the thousands of generators that are all over the country connected with 1970s technology that are vulnerable to electric storm, to an attack, and also to a solar flare. So I think that would put the country back into the Middle Ages if something like that happened. So, I think it's a really priority. And I urge anyone to get Koppel's book on that. Also, read Jim Woolsey, former director of the CIA under Bill Clinton, who has written an extensive series of articles in the Wall Street Journal on this topic. So I think it's really important to look at. And there are some really promising technologies we can integrate into it.
Interesting that another danger comes out. I mean, it used to be cyber is going to destroy us, but now we're looking at solar flares. Now I agree. I understand that that's something we can, that worst case could happen. But why should we worry about that now all of a sudden? The humans have been around thousands of years. Anytime that could have happened and really caused some, damage to anything, not just electronics.
Yeah. Well, I think you sort of hit on the nail there. In the 1920s, there was a flare called the Carrington effect that would have wiped out everything as we know it right now. And now, just like cybersecurity, which of course is based on connectivity and distribution, so is electricity. So you have the combination that would not only, if we had a major incident like that, would wipe out the electrical infrastructure, would also wipe out our computer capabilities too. So they're connected. Both the physical and the cyber are very much intertwined in this area.
That's interesting. I guess another thing to be concerned about. We can stay up at night worrying about this. So anything else you want to touch on that's new out there in the DC area?
No, I think the next thing is probably that the Congress is adjourning soon. When there's a continuing resolution that was finally passed, which means that these programs are at least funded throughout with the year what they were allocated to. But I think what's interesting to note is that there's $19 billion being allocated in next year's budget to cybersecurity. And it also has been said that from CIO polling, that is the number one issue among federal CIOs. So I think you're going to see a lot more activity next year, no matter which president it is, looking at the cyber field and looking at all the opportunities and to bring on new technologies, new services, and bring us into what we are talking about, the Internet of Things, which is down the pipeline.
Interesting. $19 billion. Do you know how much was spent last year or allotted last year?
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
I think it was $16 billion. I think they brought it up $3 billion. But it is one of the number one spending items. And a lot of the problems, of course, in government is you have a lot of legacy systems. So a lot of them is upgrading it. But it's still significant because every agency has its challenges. And now with everything being digital, government is recognizing that they have to invest in security.
I've had conversations with several people about that $15 billion, and I had heard that number before. And you just said that we had a hard time finding funding for developing cybersecurity that's going to protect us in the future. And we've already had $15 billion spent a year. I've seen that the things that money's spent on are things like building a building that has the word cybersecurity in the name somewhere. How do we get the government and the people, decision makers, or the policymakers in general to say, we want to spend money on something that's going to help the cybersecurity arena and not just put money in the pocket of another real estate developer?
Yeah, well, I think you've touched a subject that's sort of dear to my heart, and that's the investment in R&D in prototyping. The Department of Homeland Security has a director called the S&T, Director of Science and Technology Director, that actually helps commercialize technologies from startups and from the labs. And some of these have brought, you know, huge dividends already. And so I think, you know, for the United States to remain competitive, we have to really invest strongly in R&D as everything's happening so exponentially, right? The changes in the technologies and the nanotechnologies that are evolving. If you want to really be competitive on the world scene in the next 20, 30 years, we really have to look back and build the skills and talent for science and technology and not just look at procurement of you know, buildings with the name cyber on it, like you say.
Yeah, there's some interesting things I heard about what that $15 billion was spent on, but it wasn't on anything that I would consider cybersecurity research or development, like you said. So I'm with you 100%, which is why I brought up the topic. So yeah, let's. Thanks for doing this DC update with me. I wanted to give you a chance, Chuck. I know you are up for Cybersecurity Excellence Award. Talk about that and how people can get involved and nominate you, because I definitely think it's worth doing.
Sure. I was nominated for the Marketer of the Year for the Cybersecurity Excellence Awards. I think it's sponsored by the Information Security Group, which is about 350,000 members on LinkedIn. They also have a website and other things too. The group is just part of it, but it's an honor, and you can go to that the award link, Cybersecurity Excellence Awards, and you'll find a link for me, and please vote. Appreciate it.
And I will put the link on the page for this podcast, this news update. But thanks a lot for joining today. Anything else you wanted to pass along in your closing here, Chuck?
No, just have a great week and great weekend. And I look forward to recording back next month.
All right. Thanks for joining today, Chuck. Have a good one.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.